Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What I am tonight is incredibly proud of my colleagues, that 30 of them chose not to do the easy thing, but to do the important thing, the right thing, something that is really historic in the city of New York.
Well, easy or hard, right or wrong, the New York City Council did it last night. They passed a congestion pricing bill endorsing a fee for most drivers entering Manhattan below 60th Street. The state legislature in Albany still must act by next Monday to get a $354 million congestion pricing grant from the federal government. Council passed the measure 30-20, with one member absent, Helen Foster from the Bronx. Now, that's a closer vote than usually takes place in city council. My first guest today voted no last night and was a leader of the opposition. And as it happens, Democrat Tony Avella of Queens also announced this week that he is running for mayor. That election is next year. Avella's district includes Whitestone, Bayside, and College Point, and nearby neighborhoods in eastern Queens. And Councilman Tony Avella joins us now on two different telephones during the course of this interview, and we'll explain why. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Glad to thank you for having me on your show, Brian.
So what are these telephone rules?
Well, when your staff called, they indicated that they not only wanted to talk about congestion pricing, but also my mayoral campaign. I am going to talk to you about congestion pricing on a city phone, but I cannot talk about the campaign on, obviously, city property. So we will have to then switch to my cell phone.
Okay. So
I mean, that's good government.
That's good government. That's certainly, you know, steering clear of any shades of gray, which undoubtedly will come up. You may have to switch in between sentences the way these things sometimes go. But we're starting on your landline, your council phone. You're wearing your councilman's hat. And I'm looking at a Times Ledger story, the Queens newspaper from Friday, that has you predicting that you had the votes to defeat congestion pricing in city council. What happened?
We did have the votes until the speaker and the mayor started leaning on people, or shall we say influencing or bribing people, depending upon how you want to look at it.
How do you look at it?
I look at it as bribing people.
With what?
Well, they could do it with any number of ways. I mean, the speaker can offer council members who's they're interested in passing legislation to say, you have a bill you want passed, we'll move it. Or she could say the reverse. Well, you had this piece of legislation that was moving ahead. Well, now it's not. Or the speaker and the mayor can both say to a council member, well, listen, you've got this pet project in your district, whether it's a park project or some group you want to give some funding to. Well, we can make that happen. And some combination of all of those things went on. And people switched their votes because we had the votes to defeat this.
Now, here's a clip of a fellow opponent, Councilman Lou Fidler of South Brooklyn, on how Mayor Bloomberg may have made secret deals with some members to win their votes.
You can be sure that more than six members voted based upon cajoling or a deal of one kind or another, and that's fair game. But on the merits, they lost today.
More than six members, he said. Do you have a count of how many people switched over? Do you have some names?
I believe that's accurate count.
Do you have some names of who you thought was on your side last week and wound up voting for congestion pricing?
Well, Eric Gioia, Tom White. I think we were surprised by Dominic Recchia. I think we were very surprised by Mike McMahon of Staten Island. And I forget who the others are, but those are the ones that really struck me as those being no votes and then switching.
So take any one of those people and tell us what you think they got.
Well, I'm not going to focus on specific individuals. It will come out in time, all of a sudden, a piece of legislation moving ahead that had been idle or somebody getting a pet project. I'm going to follow up on this because, you know, this is the wheeling and dealing that always goes on in legislative bodies, which I think is inappropriate because we should always vote on measures based upon the merit. But what really irks me is if taxpayer dollars was used to get people to switch their vote and, you know, funding for a particular project, because that would mean that anybody who was opposed to congestion pricing like myself, my taxpayer dollars went to influence, and I'll use the word bribe, a council member to vote for something that I didn't want. I'm going to follow up on this. I am actually going to instruct my legislative counsel to file a FOIL document with the mayor's office and the speaker's office requesting copies of any telephone conversations, any memos, any emails between council members on this vote. I'm not going to let this go because I think this is bad government. I think congestion pricing is bad government, but I think the way it was handled and the way they got votes for it is extremely bad government.
Now, there were a number of changes made by the mayor in the last few days designed to win people over that were publicly announced. Tell me if you think any of these were especially effective. Exemptions for handicapped license plate holders, exemptions for some private bus companies, low-income drivers eligible for the earned income tax credit would get partial rebates, all these on top of earlier promises of improved mass transit. All of those were made publicly. Do you think any of those changes were key?
I actually think those changes gave some council members cover to say why they switched their votes. You know, and I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the main issue that the mayor's always been talking about, and that is funding for mass transit. We're going to give this money, which I think is just another tax, to the MTA. This is the same MTA that had two sets of books, one for the public, one for themselves. This is the same MTA that takes the fares from the bus and subway for members from riders of the bus and subway now, and then funds upstate transportation systems with our money. I don't trust the MTA to give me the correct time of day, and yet we're going to give them this money and hope that they actually improve mass transit.
Well, they would say, they would certainly say that a court found that there were not two sets of books back in 2002, but in terms of having extra money and doing things that, according to the written law at least, are required in terms of expansion of mass transit. I mean, I grew up in your district, and I know there's no subway there. You have to take an express bus or a city bus to a subway to get into Manhattan. So will the bus service be expanded for your constituents as a result of this? Has that been promised?
That has not been mentioned to me. I mean, one of the things that they say is going to happen if this gets approved by Albany, that there will be expanded bus service. And you're right, I don't have a subway in my district. And I think there was a recent newspaper article which said that out of all the council districts, the people who drive the most are the people from my district, because there is no subway and there is inadequate bus service. I and my fellow council members who voted against this don't believe that the promises will ever come to fruition. You know, the mayor bases this system on the London congestion pricing plan. And from the information that I have, which differs from the information that the mayor and the speaker have been given out, is that the London system doesn't work. Every year the fee goes up, and they've never had enough money to fund the promised mass transportation improvement. Mm.
By the way, when I was a kid, they used to lobby for extending the number 7 train from Flushing to the Nassau County line. It's only a few miles, as you know, and I haven't lived there in years. But when I first heard Mayor Bloomberg propose extending the number 7 line, I thought, oh, good, Eastern Queens is finally getting a subway. But then I realized he was talking about extending it in the other direction, right, from Times Square to the Javits Center. So I guess the idea of subway service to your district is dead.
I think forever. But, I mean, if they improve mass transit, the bus system and the express buses, that would be a help. And if I thought for one second that we were really going to get all these mass transportation improvements, I would think differently about this. But it's not going to happen. It's just another tax.
It's in the law. How are they going to get out of it?
Oh,
they're
please.
Prohibited from they using get... it for routine replacement. I read that in the bill.
Brian, how did they get out of the money that was promised to the people of this state that would fund education through the lottery system? How did they get out of that? They did. All they did was, whatever money came from the lottery towards education, they reduced the budget for education by that much. Nobody ever got another dime, and that's what's going to happen here.
By the way, I heard a stat that 95% of New York City residents who work in Manhattan, coming from any of the five boroughs, take mass transit. 95%. Do you think that's true in your district?
No, I don't. I mentioned, based upon that newspaper article, that most the people who drive most are actually coming from my district. But, you have to look at the entire picture. The fact that the mass transit things are not going to work, that this is just another tax on the most heavily taxed people in the country already.
City Councilman Tony Avella from Eastern Queens, would you change to your cell phone? Because I'd like to interview mayoral hopeful Tony Avella from Eastern Queens.
The only restraints I have in me, I'm chairing a committee on the 125th Street rezoning, and we're getting very close to starting.
Okay, but you have 5 minutes?
Get on the cell phone.
Get on the cell phone.
Thanks.
And we're not going to give you his cell phone number, but we are now calling Tony Avella's cell phone. Are you there? Is that your ringtone? I think we heard his ringtone in the background on his city council phone. So now he's hung that up to pick up his cell phone, which is part of his campaign expense account. Councilman Avella, are you there?
I'm here. I'm just having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay. I'll speak as loudly as I can. So now you're a candidate, Tony Avella. So if congestion prices pricing passes and you're elected mayor, would you try to end it in progress?
Brian, unfortunately, I can't hear you, so the cell phone isn't working.
Can you hear me at all?
I can barely hear you.
Okay.
It's very strange because I heard, you know, the original contact, so I think it may be on your end.
All right. So we're going to try to get this fixed, and I will let you know, people, that we have a little poll on our website right now. It's not about congestion pricing. It's about the next segment that we're going to discuss about the New York State budget, which is officially one day late here on April 1st. It is one day late. It is a few billion dollars long, according to critics who say they're spending too much money. But go to the website and answer the question, should they impose sales taxes for shopping on the Internet if you're a New Yorker? That's actually in the state legislature tentative budget agreement. So go answer that question. Councilman, can you hear me better now?
I can hear you great.
That's great. If congestion pricing passes and you're elected mayor, would you end it in progress?
Absolutely. Because I don't believe it's going to work, and I think that's going to be the example by the time somebody becomes the new mayor, and hopefully I'd like to be the new mayor, I would definitely end it. It's just another tax on the most heavily taxed people in the country. When is government going to stop reaching into the pockets of New Yorkers?
That sounds a lot like what you said as a councilman, but we'll draw this bright line. Remember a minute ago you said that the mayor was engaging in arm twisting, bribery, maybe using public funds, promising public projects. If you're mayor, are you not going to use that kind of influence of making deals with members of council to get through the things that you want? Doesn't this go on every level of government all the time?
No, in fact, that's actually, if you go on my website, you'll see it starts off Tony Avella for mayor. The revolution starts now. No, I want to change the very nature of government. Politics plays too much of a role in government. There's a difference. There's politics and there's governing. We should be doing what's right on the merits on each and every occasion and not doing something that we know is wrong because somebody gave us another project or another bill on the other end. We have to change the very nature.
Isn't that the nature of democracy and compromise?
There's a difference between compromise and changing your vote because you got something. If you vote against the way is wrong, if you're voting for something you know is wrong because you got something, whether it's a bill or a project, that's simply wrong because you're doing wrong by the people you represent.
I
feel very strongly about this.
I know you're going to chair a hearing soon on the redevelopment of 125th Street in Harlem as it's now planned, and I gather that you are an opponent of the redevelopment as it exists on paper right now. Why is a councilman from Eastern Queens getting involved in that?
Well, because it goes to the very philosophy that I've talked about as a councilman and as a mayoral candidate. The real estate industry controls the agenda in this city. We allow them to dictate, basically, to government where projects should go. The 125th Street rezoning is a classic example. Whose vision of Harlem does this plan represent? It doesn't represent the community. It must represent some plan from the Department of City Planning and the real estate developers who have their eyes on 125th Street. Why it's planning from the top down instead of from the bottom up? We should be talking to neighborhoods throughout the entire city. What's right? What's wrong with your community? Where do you want it to be in 5, 10 years down the line? And if we start doing that, we'll have a much better city. We can still have development where we can preserve the character and charm of each neighborhood. We can preserve our historic structures and make sure that everybody has a stake in their own neighborhood, what happens in their community. And I'm actually being poked on the shoulder to say that I've got to go to the
end. Okay, so tell me one last thing. Do you think Mayor Bloomberg has been fundamentally wrong in his approach to development in New York City?
Absolutely.
How?
I think he focuses too much on development, and it's development at any cost.
City Councilman and mayoral candidate Tony Vella of Eastern Queens, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll go up to Albany. They have to pass congestion pricing now, and they've got some budget proposals that they would like to sell you, including an internet sales tax for the first time for New Yorkers who buy things online. Stay with us.